name's Dave Cooper, and I want to welcome you to another podcast in the Marriage Doctor series. Today we're going to be talking about love languages. Now, again, another popular theory and a whole load of books and articles have been written on this. Like a lot of the other theories that we use, I use it in its most basic form, and I apply two or three of them together to get what we call the marriage doctor approach. Love languages is one of the most coherent and valuable of understandings as to how to reconnect couples. And I want today to provide a basic idea of how the love languages approach can help your relationship. So let's make a start. Let's start not so much with the idea of love, but the idea of languages. What does it mean to speak a language? Very simply, if you think of you and your partner as speaking different languages, then that's a good place to start. If you think of yourself speaking Russian, your partner speaking Greek, it gives you some idea of how the connection can be fractured. The whole thing can be disconnected. And it's the connection that we're going for. That's what we're trying to achieve, is when two people feel that they are part of a genuine and authentic relationship, that they're getting something out of it, and that they are really happy and ready to give back to it. So the first idea we want to touch on is the idea that you are often speaking different languages. And it's no good doing the English thing and just speaking your own language louder and louder and slower. That's not going to work. The clearer, more coherently you speak Russian to a Greek person, it's really not going to help. What we have to do is we have to learn our partner's language. And that is part of our commitment to the relationship. We're looking at learning how they speak. What is their language? Once we know their language, of course, then we have to commit to learning how to speak it. And that takes practice in itself. If you think how long it takes to learn a foreign language, well, that's how long you need to be committed to the idea of love languages. So let's bring the love idea into the languages now and say, well, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a particular type of language. It's a particular idea. It's not so much Greek or Russian as it goes, but it's more about the idea of, someone described it as filling your tank. It's an idea that if you were a car, this is your fuel. This is the stuff that makes you feel like you can run and you've got the energy. You feel valued, you feel supported, you feel loved. So what kind of language are we talking about? Well, years ago, creator of this idea looked at all the work they were doing with couples and so on, and came out with this idea that really it all boils down to about five different things, and everything more or less falls into those categories. And we're going to go through those categories now and get an idea what they are. And when we do that, I'll take you then through a process of beginning to speak your partner's language. So let me now mention five different things and start then with an idea of which language do you speak. So if I mention the word gifts, we all know what a gift is. The idea of purchasing or making a gift. It can be a tiny thing. It can be a very expensive and lavish thing. It can be... Gifts, I think, are connected with surprises. I think that's a big factor in the love language of gifts. Some people just love surprises. Some people really don't like them. Now, it's really important that you understand that gifts is a language on its own. So we're talking, flowers or... It can be all the way up to maybe a surprise holiday. All that kind of stuff comes under gifts. Now let's talk about physical touch. Again, a whole language of its own. Some people are very, very touchy-feely. They like hugging, they like touching, they like holding hands, they like sitting next to, they like cuddling up on couches. Other people are a bit more standoffish. The touching really doesn't mean much to them. Let me make a distinction here. We're not talking here about sexual touch. A lot of people look at that physical touch and think, it's about having sex with your partner. It's really not. It's more about intimate touch in a sense of holding hands, putting your arm around someone, hugging them, that kind of thing. Quality time. Let's talk about time in a sense of quality. Now, I know a lot of people don't like the idea of quality time. They say, well, it's all quality and so on. But I think everybody really knows what we mean when we say quality time. We're talking about when, if you have children, for instance, that time when the children are all out and it's just you two. Or it's time when you're home from work and it's an evening or maybe a weekend. We're talking about how do you spend your time when you have a choice, when it's you're under your own cognizance and it's up to you what you do. How do you spend your time at that time? So that's the idea of quality time. Again, can be a hugely important love language. Now we go on to the fourth one, acts of service. Now, this, in some ways, it appears to be the most mundane. We're talking about putting the bins out. We're talking about washing up. We're talking about washing clothes or cleaning the windows or all sorts of mundane acts. But that's why they're called service. They're acts of service. They're doing little jobs that make someone's life a little easier. Now, again, some people really feel loved when they come in and the washing up's done. So other people, it doesn't mean anything. So again, we've got to learn what language our partner speaks. Let's look at the last one now, which is words of affirmation. Now, these are special type of words in which you affirm yourself or your partner. They are words like, when we were at that family do yesterday, I thought you handled yourself really well. Or, I notice that the garden's really nicely done, well done. It's a form of congratulations or building up of our partner, which is good for them to hear. But again, for some people, means almost nothing. For others, hugely important and really builds them up and makes them feel loved. Now, there's five love languages: gifts, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, and words of affirmation. So the first question is this: what language does my partner speak? Interesting question. If you think of a graph with all five words along the bottom, some people will have a huge peak in the graph around one thing. It could be that they absolutely love gifts, but none of the rest of the four things does much for them. Some people have a double peak where, you know, maybe physical touch and words of affirmation are almost equally important. And they can't really choose between the two. For other people, it could be that there are even more peaks and everything's sort of level, in which case you've got a lot of languages to learn. But the important thing is getting to know your partner. Of course, there's absolutely nothing wrong with asking them, with finding out what's wrong with doing that research. So, that's the first question. What language does my partner speak? Now, let me give you a little clue here. Your partner and you are probably like most other people in that you quite naturally speak your own language to someone else. What does that mean? It means that if gifts, I'm just choosing gifts now as a love language, if that's really important to you, well, then you're probably going to buy gifts for your partner. In the sense that, well, that's what I like, so that's what they'll like. You tend to speak your own language. So that gives you a clue. What they're doing for you is probably their own love language, what they tend to do for you. So that gives you a good clue. The other thing I would like to say about it is that often, you know, being in an intimate relationship, being in a marriage, we find out about our partner not just to love them, but sometimes to hurt them. Once we know love languages, then obviously we can withhold the gifts. We can withhold the physical touch because we know our partner likes it, and we want to hurt them because they've hurt us. So this is all part of intimacy. It's all part of vulnerability, that you let someone know, and you realize that you are being vulnerable when you talk about these things. So once we've learned how to speak our partner's language, or shall we say, once we've learned which language they speak, the next job is spending several months, probably years, learning how to speak that language ourselves. So it's about learning about love languages, that there are such things, learning the five types, learning what is your love language, and more importantly, what is your partner's love language. What is a love language? It's the thing that is done for you that makes you feel loved. If your love language is physical touch and your partner's love language is gifts, they can buy you as many gifts as they want. They can lavish these gifts on you. It will not make you feel loved. They will feel disappointed because they're doing such loving things and they're speaking their own love language, but they're not speaking yours. If they buy you these gifts but do not hold your hand as you walk down the street, you will not feel loved, even though you're sporting maybe a big gold ring or a new necklace or something like that. We need to learn to speak the partner's language. And if we do this, and if we do this as part of our commitment to the relationship, we will feel the benefits. We are the ones that will feel that we are getting something out of this relationship and feel that we are getting somewhere. Well, I hope that helps to go through the basics of love languages. There's clearly more to it, but that is going to give us a good start and gives you a very good basis for how to start understanding your partner better. So, for now, bye until next time.